ألف رضوان. إن شئت فالبحر نعبر والجبال الشامخات. قم سيدي، فهذا شعبك جاءك يهفو، جاءك يحمل ألف تحايا الانتصار. أطل سيدي من الضاحية الغراء، هذا الشعب الذي أحبب أشرف الناس، أطهر الناس، أطيب الناس على عهدك والوفاء. يرنو إلى بريق عينيك، لا يهدأ موجه، لا يستكين، ينتظر نداك. أمين عام حزب الله، سماحة المجاهد السيد حسن نصر الله.
تفضلوا تفضلوا. ممنون. تفضلوا. تفضلوا. تفضلوا يا اخوان تفضلوا. تفضلوا. أعوذ بالله بنا ونبينا سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه الأخيار المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين.
We achieved. We met in this square to commemorate the martyrs. We met in this square to commemorate all of these occasions. It is also my duty to salute all of those who are present here and all of those who are present in Baalabak tonight who are also celebrating this occasion. So they will hear my speech first of all, and they'll continue with their own special musical ceremony which they're holding there in Baalabak to commemorate this anniversary. It is also my duty at the beginning to speak in the name of you all and to salute and pay tribute to the souls of all of the martyrs, the honorable martyrs, the martyrs who sacrificed for our cause, the martyrs who are the mujahideen of the muqawama, the different factions of the muqawama or the resistance, the martyrs of the Lebanese army as well, the martyrs of the Lebanese security services. I would also like to pay tribute to the martyrs of the civilians who fell martyrs as well, Lebanese, Palestinian and Syrians, those who were martyred in the July 2006 war. I would also like to salute all of those who were injured or wounded. Some of them are still suffering today because of what happened in the July 2006 war. I would also like to salute all of those whose houses were destroyed, whose assets and property were destroyed. I would also like to salute all of those who stood with perseverance in their land and territories or were forced to flee but stood with steadfastness. I would also like to salute all of those who took in the people who were forced to flee from their homes, who took in their fellow countrymen in the mosques, in the schools, in the houses. I would also like to salute all of those who stood side by side with the resistance, those who supported the resistance, those who enabled the resistance to achieve victory by moral support, by financial support, by support of words, verbal support, or the support of tears, or a simple dua, prayer. I would also like to salute, I don't want to go into names because the list of names is very long, but I would also like to salute all of the Arab peoples, the Islamic people, the people of the world, and I would also like to salute all of the leaders and the movements and the governments which stood side by side with us and which supported the Lebanese people and the resistance and supported Lebanon as a whole during the Zionist campaign in July 2006. I would also like to thank, most important of all, I would like to thank God the Almighty, God who was able to make us achieve victory, God who enabled us to achieve victory, God was able, of course, to put courage in our hearts, was able to put confidence in our hearts and enabled us to defeat our enemy and bring about an honorable victory. My dear brothers and sisters, ever since the end of the campaign, of the military campaign, on this very day in July 2006, and in light of the historic stance which was shown to our people, from our people who went back to their homes after the war, after the cessation of hostilities, in spite of the destruction and in spite of the existence of millions of cluster bombs, our people went back to their homes. And a lot was said about this war. A lot was said about the reasons of this war, the motives of this war, the background of this war, the planning before the war, what happened during the war, the developments which took place during the war, the aims of the war, the results of the war, the lessons to be learned from the war, and what the war led to. A lot of the questions were asked concerning these subjects, whether it be in Lebanon or Israel or Palestine or the whole region, and the American scheme or plot in general. And it's very normal that these questions are still being raised till today, and many of these questions will still be raised, and we must focus on this because we witnessed history which was made by Lebanon and the people of Lebanon. It was a true miracle by Lebanon and by the people of Lebanon, and so this miracle must be looked into from all angles: the cultural angle, the social angle, the spiritual angle, the sympathetic angle, the political angle, the military angle, the strategic angle, the tactical angle, etc., etc. And so one of the most important points we must focus on: what would have happened if the resistance were to have been defeated in Lebanon? How would our situation be in Lebanon if the resistance had been defeated? What would the situation in Palestine have been, or the situation in the Islamic and Arab world had been, if we were defeated? Today, as we once again commemorate this occasion, which was created by Lebanon, by the people and resistance and army of Lebanon and the state of Lebanon, of course, this, For 33 days, this was the only news event which was covered in the whole world for 33 days. This was the only subject which was focused on in the whole world. So I don't want to go into evaluating these questions which I raised, in spite of the fact that these questions I raised before are very important, because I want to shed light first and foremost during the time of this speech. I want to speak about the current situation. I want to speak about the threats which we are witnessing currently, and I also want to speak about the future stages. And I do not want to speak about the furor which we hear about on the media, or the current threats, or to evaluate the current situation in order to present to you or to preoccupy your minds with political analysis. What I do want to do is to give a clear position, a clear stance, to show the responsibilities which we must take, responsibilities and stances which concern us all. And the uniqueness of the resistance, the experience of resistance in Lebanon, is that this resistance speaks transparently. and transforms this responsibility into a common responsibility, responsibility for us all. We must all think about our responsibilities. We must all take steps. We must all be ready, and we must all work to bring about the appropriate results. But before I go into the most important issue, I would like to read a quote to you, to read a quote which is related to the results of the July 2006 war. The quote is from the current Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. But this quote, which I will read to you, it was said by Netanyahu after the July 2006 war, but before he became Prime Minister. Now Netanyahu says, quote, Netanyahu, peace be upon him, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah says sarcastically. He is comparing between the Six-Day War in 1967 and the 33-Day War in 2006. And he says, quote, the Six-Day War enabled Israel to continue being in existence and enabled Israel to sign peace agreements. And the Six-Day War in 1967 also showed that Israel, the state, was transformed into a state which had question marks about the real reasons concerning its existence, into a country which could not be defeated. And this was actually achieved after the territories of Israel were expanded from 12 kilometers to 70 kilometers after 1967, after the Six-Day War. And because of our existence in the mountains in the West Bank, and the height of these mountains is 1,000 meters, and this is what prevents the Jewish from being thrown into the sea. Now, after the Six-Day War in 1967, and after the war in 1973, many of the people in the Arab world, and pay attention, many of the people in the Arab world, and this is the battle of vigilance I always speak about, many people in the Arab world then began to think that Israel is a state which cannot be defeated. And the victory and the Israeli deterrence, both of them, were a factor, represented a decisive factor in the Arab states reaching the conclusion that Israel must be a state which is recognized, and that they also must sign peace agreements with Israel. Once again, I say Netanyahu was here referring to the results of the 1967 war, and he continues, we signed peace agreements with Egypt, Jordan, and we also reached reconciliation, a period of reconciliation with Palestinians. But, and here the new part comes, but ever since the unilateral withdrawal from Lebanon in the year 2000, up to, and some of course criticize my finger when I use my finger, but I think it's my right to use it. Ever since the unilateral withdrawal from Lebanon in the year 2000, up to the unilateral withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, and now after the July 2006 war, or the Second Lebanese War, now it is very clear that Israel is no longer a state which cannot be defeated. And question marks are once again being raised about the continued existence of Israel. But it is also being raised by Israel's friends. Even the friends of Israel are raising question marks. Can this state continue to be in existence? So now I will speak about the results of the July 2006 war. Of course, this was what Netanyahu said before the war on Gaza. But after the historic perseverance in the miracle victory, which miraculous victory which was achieved in Gaza, these words from Netanyahu must be focused on more and more. Now let me go into the depth of the subject. We in the last few weeks We witnessed and we heard a lot of furor on the media, a lot of Israeli furor, a lot of Israeli statements, and some American and Western stances helped these Israeli threats, especially stances taken by Britain, and many subjects were being raised.
وطرحت الكثير من الأسئلة وفرضت نفسها على الواقع السياسي اللبناني والإقليمي وحصلت الكثير من الاتصالات حول هذا الأمر وهذا الملف
to pressure منيح 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 to pressure the government. And second of all, this is also a clear signal that the Zionist enemy is being harmed, is also, of course, does not agree to have a national unity government, does not agree to have a government where we have national partnership. This is the whole issue. The response is, first of all, that we must go rapidly into the formation of a cabinet. We must put together a national unity government. We must, of course, achieve unity. We must put together a consensus government. Name it what you want, because there is a clear necessity, a security and political and social and economical necessity for there to be a government in Lebanon as soon as possible. And second of all, we must have a national unity government. As I said, that's the first point. Second of all, Hezbollah must take part effectively in this government. And maybe I'm one of those people who didn't accept, who is not listened to. Some people might say we don't want to take part, etc., etc. But now, because of Netanyahu's words, we must take part. I'm just joking, of course. And this is the first response. So this aim of the Israelis to put together or to create internal political divisions must be stopped. We as Lebanese, we must put together a government as soon as possible, a national unity government, to prevent these Israeli aims from succeeding. One of these Israeli aims is to create divisions, as I said. The second point, one of the aims also is to bring back divisions into the Lebanese society, into the Lebanese arena. This is what the Israelis themselves said. They said in the last weeks in Lebanon, it seems that the situation has calmed down and there is no longer escalation. And we have a calm rhetoric between the politicians, the Lebanese politicians. This comforts the resistance, so we must not allow the resistance to feel comfortable in Lebanon. And hence, let's once again make these threats. Let's once again point out to their weapons, accuse Hezbollah and threaten the Lebanese and say that we'll destroy Lebanon, we'll destroy your government, we'll destroy your infrastructure, so that once again there will be internal arguments in Lebanon. Some will defend, some will argue, and Lebanon will enter into this process once again of give and take. Accusations, exchange accusations. Of course, this has not succeeded. We did hear some voices in Lebanon, but these voices were not heard, and the situation did calm down. And so the Lebanese and the Lebanese politicians were able to prevent this Israeli plan from succeeding. The third point, one of the aims of this of these Israeli threats is also to amend the mandate of the United Nations peacekeeping forces in South Lebanon, the UNIFIL, because we are approaching the report of the UN Secretary General of the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 1701 and extend the mandate of the UNIFIL forces. Now, before the accident which took place in Khir Batselem in South Lebanon, the Israelis and Americans spoke about, of course, changing the mandate of the UNIFIL and spoke about the weapons south of the Leitani River. And there was an aim to amend the mandate of the United Nations Peacekeeping Forces, the UNIFIL. Today, the UNIFIL have one mission, one mandate, to support the Lebanese army and to support the legitimate Lebanese forces only. And so the UN Peacekeeping Forces cannot put together military posts, cannot put up posts, cannot make searches, cannot go into houses and inspect houses. So the only mandate of the UNIFIL forces is to support the Lebanese army. They wanted to amend this mandate and transform the United Nations peacekeeping forces into multinational forces, just like they had proposed after the July 2006 war. Make them separate from the Lebanese army and the Lebanese government and enable these forces to, of course, put up military posts, to make raids into houses, to inspect houses. And of course, these threats by Israel aimed to actually change the mandate of the UNIFIL, and they used the explosion which took place in Khribat Salem in South Lebanon in order to actually implement this changing of the mandate. But because of the Lebanese official stance and because of the Lebanese political stance, which was unified in refusing any changing in the mandate, any amending of the UNIFIL's approach, this plan or this aim also was not achieved by the Israelis. And number four, one of the goals of these threats is to also once again open up the file of the arms of the resistance. Now, of course, because of the commemoration of the war, many Israelis are speaking about what this war actually achieved. What did we achieve after the July 2006 war? Imagine, of course, Olmert has now left, but if Olmert were still in office, he would have once again spoken about the same achievements. He would have said that we are the strongest army in the world, we are the strongest, we have the strongest air force, we waged the war for 33 days, and what was their big accomplishment? That someone in Hezbollah, me, they prevented me from going and making speeches in person in front of the people and to walk on the streets. What kind of a big goal is this? For me, it's better. I used to make my speeches when I was standing. Now I make my speeches while I'm sitting down. So they spoke, the Israeli officials, of course, they spoke about the arms of resistance, the strength of the resistance, and they begin to turn the international community against the resistance. They begin to put pressure on the Lebanese government, they put pressure on Syria, on Iran. They also created all of this mayhem and said that if you don't take decisive measures to prevent the resistance from being armed, then we'll be right on the edge of the war. This was what the Israelis were saying, and this is also one of the aims of their threats. Of course, I am not in the process of opening up the file of the arms of the resistance. I don't want to say if we are arming ourselves or not, or how are we arming or how are we not arming. It does not concern us to actually comment on such reports. If it's appropriate to make comments on arms, we will. Everything is good when we appropriately time it. But I would like to tell all of the Lebanese people, and this is a point which I'll go back to, but to comment on this aim, I would like to tell all of the Lebanese, honorable Lebanese citizens, to all our people in this honorable land, which is a neighbor of this enemy, and we know the nature of this enemy, this historic nature, this army which is still basing its existence on allegations which go back 3,000 years or more. Now, in confrontation against such an enemy of such a nature, and in a world which is being controlled by the law of a jungle, not by international law, a world which is being controlled by the law of a jungle where the strong have control and the weak are killed, and righteousness becomes wrongdoing and wrongdoing becomes righteousness, in a world where all facts are falsified, in a world where all rights are stolen away, where all sanctities are violated, in a world where millions of thousands are killed just for the sake of American weapons companies and American oil companies in this world where we have the law of a jungle prevailing. The only people who will prevail are the strong people, the strong state, the strong ummah. Whoever believes that they can protect their people or protect their state by alliances or by relations or ties must be vigilant and look throughout history, because if they rely on alliances and international relations, they will be sold out when they are subject or when the appropriate price is given on the international market. Nobody is protected by relations or by alliances. The only way to protect ourselves is our strength, our will, our determination to live in dignity. This is what protects us. One of the aims of these Israeli threats, of course, is a psychological war as well. This is one of the many aims. The continuous psychological war is being waged in order to affect the conviction of our people, to affect the ideology of our people, to affect our will, to affect our commitment, our determination, our confidence, our hopes and aspirations for the future. And this psychological war is also being waged so that the people of our region will always be in a state of anxiety. This psychological war is a war of failure. It's a failed war. And I would like to remind the enemy, I would like to remind them of what happened in Sharm el-Sheikh in 1996. At that time, it was not Netanyahu or Lieberman or Lieberman's deputy in the foreign ministry, who, by the way, is speaking a lot these days, Barak. Today, at that time, 1996, the whole world, America and the West, even China and Russia and Latin America, Arab countries, the whole world came together after the martyrdom operations, which we saw, the martyrdom operations of our brothers in Hamas and Jihad al-Islami in Al-Quds and Tel Aviv. And they reached a unified conclusion that three groups are terrorist groups which must be destroyed: Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Islamic Jihad. They named these three groups. These three groups must be wiped away. Their financial sources must be cut off, and we must combat them in all the parts of the world. This happened in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, 1996. A world war was announced on the resistance movements in Lebanon and Palestine. But I remember at that time when we met in southern Beirut, and we made our response at that time. And to confront any such psychological war, we always remember the ayah, which you know very well, the verse which says, "In the name of God the Merciful, those who were approached by many countries, the whole world at that time, as I said, took the decision to wipe us away, to destroy us, to wipe us off the map, to wipe us out of existence. But once again, we, of course, refer to the ayah. The people have grouped together against us. Be wary of them. But what is the stance? Those who have planned and conspirated and made conspiracies against you, they increased in faith and they said, "We always depend on Allah." So our faith increases. What I mean to say, we do not show fear. We increase our faith. Our faith does not even stay the same. It increases. Our determination increases. Our will gets stronger. Our confidence builds up more and more. Why does our faith increase? What do we depend on? Where do we get our strength from? We get it from Allah. Allah is enough for us. God is enough. We depend on Allah. This stance At that time, after weeks and weeks, we saw the war in 1996 on Lebanon, the Grapes of Wrath war, and the resistance showed perseverance that very same year in 1996. So this psychological war, previously, now, in the future, such a war cannot achieve anything. And I would like to tell all of those who are wasting their breath in this psychological war, I would like to tell them that this psychological war maybe could achieve something within Israeli community or some other communities. But when you wage such a war against people who have faith, people who have determination, confidence, and who believe in God, and who believe in the future, and who have a strong will and strong determination, and who have a spirit of sacrifice and are not afraid of death, and those who believe that God will make them achieve victory, such people cannot be affected by any psychological war. So a psychological war against such a community cannot benefit you. Their faith only increases. Their ideology gets stronger and stronger. And so we have a very honorable speech which I want to refer to. God Almighty spoke to David and said, whoever believes in God, any believer who believes in me, meaning who believes in God without believing in anyone else, whoever depends on me only, whoever only trusts me, whoever believes in me, whoever only seeks help from me, and these are the words of God, whoever depends on me, any believer who depends on me and not anyone else, I can know this from his intentions. I know his intentions. I know that what his real intentions are. I know that he is honest in resorting to me, in depending on me. I can know this from his intentions. And the sky and the land will help you, will help this believer. Who is Netanyahu? Who's Lieberman? Who's America? Who's Britain? When we speak about the sky and land and God's creations, I will make him be victorious against this enemy. These are the words of God. So God Almighty is the one who can make us achieve success, who can make us victorious. Even if the whole world, even if all the sky, all the universe turns against us, if we depend on God, if we believe in God, if we resort to God, this is the way we achieve victory. And this is the way we achieve victory in the July 2006 war. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the fundamental core of the victory in July 2006. In another Quranic verse, another the verse about the confidence of a believer, God says, whoever believes in God, God will make him great. And God will accept anyone who resorts to him. And even if the sky and the land get together, are folded on each other, this believer will not be affected. Even if a disaster occurs, this believer will not be affected. So what I am trying to say is that at the time where this psychological war is being waged, I would like to tell all those, and I know that the July 2006 war, this experience is being studied by friends and foes and by the Pentagon, and many committees of high-ranking generals in Russia also studied the July 2006 war. And we in Lebanon, we must also study this experience as part of our studies for a defense strategy. After the experience of the July 2006 war and after the experience in the war of Gaza, I would like to tell all those who are studying this warfare here in Lebanon and anywhere else, before you look for weapons and before you look of the caliber of the weapons or the quality of the weapons, if you have anti-shield weapons, if you have anti-aircraft missiles, what are the type of rockets you have, what is the quantity you have. Before you speak about these military details, before you look into the quality and quantity and caliber of the weapons, of the military warfare, of a military strategy, of the military tactics, of the military planning, about the plots, before that, before you ask these questions, ask about the human. It's not about weapons and getting weapons from the world. The issue, as Imam Musa Sadr, may God bring him back to us once again, as he said, he called on the southern people of southern Lebanon to express their solidarity, to express their will. He said, we will fight against you with our teeth, with our fingers, with our rocks, with the stones. So before speaking about military caliber, military weapons, ask the question about the human, the people who are carrying the rocks, the people who have teeth, who have fingernails. This is the real way, because everyone has fingernails, everyone has teeth, generally speaking. Everyone has stones, so whoever has the will can fight and can stand with steadfastness and achieve victory in the end. Some people argue with us and argue with me personally concerning the July 2006 war and the promise of victory. The story of July 2006, they say that this was an adventure. They ask me the question, how you always tell people that you promise victory time and again? They ask me the question, maybe you won't achieve victory in the future. Because of our knowledge and because of our experience, we are confident, we are sure. Today, when we speak about any future, yes, I am one of those people who carry this responsibility and are confronting this challenge, and I am present every day. I am ready to repeat to you and to the whole world, based on our current reality and based upon the current and future threats, every day I am ready to say with complete certainty, I will repeat once again, as I promised you with victory time and again, I promise you with victory once again in the future. Some say, where do you get this certainty from? How can you be so sure of victory? And let me now use the rhetoric of the July 2006 war. We are positive of victory, first of all, because of our belief in God, because of our knowledge of God, because of our dependence on God, and second of all, because whoever has a people who are the most honorable people, whoever has resistance fighters who are the fighters of God, cannot predict defeat. Whoever has people like you, people who have sacrificed, people who have suffered so much, people who have shown or who have set an example, a modern and historic example in July 2006. And when we have such strong resistance fighters of this level, of this courage, of this wisdom, of this readiness to sacrifice, in light of this, why should we be worried about what could happen in the future? Now, these are the current threats. But because all of these threats have not achieved anything, these threats have actually backfired in Israel. This psychological war being waged by Israel backfires and has negative repercussions in Israel. When Barak, for example, or anyone else, Mufaz, for example, just a few days ago, made some statements and said that Hezbollah in Lebanon has now become stronger than it was in July 2006, three times as strong as it was in 2006. In fact, this is what Mufaz said. As I said, this is not my quote. What is Mufaz saying? He's telling the world, come and help us with Hezbollah. But on the other hand, what's his message to the Israeli entity? What's his message to those Israelis in northern Israel, in other territories? When Barak says that the result of the international community dealing lightly with Hezbollah, the result of this is that Hezbollah has the ability not to bomb only Tel Aviv, but also to bomb any territory in the Israeli
empire. بس هو شو عم يعمل بشعبه شو عم يعمل بناسه عم بيقول لهم ليكوا هي حرب جديده مش اهل حيفا حيهربوا واهل نهاريا حيهربوا واهل كريات شمونة كلكم بدكم تهربوا في الاسابيع القليله الماضيه شو اللي خلى نتنياهو يرجع يسحب
المنطقة. There is a future war when God only knows. And they, of course, say that there are political reasons for this anticipation. I don't want to go into this analysis now because nobody has information. It's only analysis. I would like to say that we as Lebanese, it's not our duty to analyze. It's our duty to look to the future. Of course, this assumption, the assumption of a war on Lebanon, the possibility of a war on Lebanon, in principle, and it's possible that such a war will be waged, maybe in 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, we don't know. Nobody can actually predict that no war will happen on Lebanon. Now, we, of course, in light of this assumption, we have two choices as Lebanese people. Let's speak about our responsibilities, not just make analysis. The first choice is to surrender and tell the Israelis, okay, calm down, whatever you want, we are ready. These are our necks, you can cut our heads off. Do what you want, but don't wage a war on our country. This is one choice we have. This choice, of course, has certain negative aspects. The Israelis might then say, first of all, we wanted Hezbollah to disarm. We don't want an armed resistance in Lebanon. So if we show an attitude of surrender, Israel will actually call to disarm Hezbollah. Then, if Hezbollah country and the Israelis, of course, have a project in the region, and this project has been announced. Israel is a Jewish state. This is what they said. Means that the Palestinians of 1948 cannot stay in these territories, cannot be in a so-called Jewish state. Second of all, to naturalize the Palestinians in the countries where they are as refugees. And third of all, we have the water crisis. And of course, they want to take advantage of Lebanon's water, security agreements, and then they'll begin to raise more and more conditions. So the first choice is to surrender to the will of the enemy, to surrender to the project of the enemy. But we are not ready to surrender. The second choice is not to wage war, no. But the second choice is to get ready, to, of course, prepare ourselves, to prepare our advantages, to strengthen ourselves, to prevent a war from occurring. You might ask, can we prevent a war from being waged? I say yes. There's a high possibility that we can prevent a war from being waged. If we as Lebanese cooperate, we can prevent Israel from waging a war on Lebanon. So the second choice is to work together to prevent the enemy from waging a war on Lebanon. But if such a war is waged, we must be victorious in this war. This is the second choice. Now, how can we make the second choice succeed? First of all, the second choice can succeed. First of all, I ask the question, can we prevent the enemy from waging war on Lebanon? Yes. Can we prevent the enemy from thinking of waging war on Lebanon? Yes. But we must take steps. It's not just about hopes. We must work. First of all, I have three main topics in this subject. First of all, and here I'm speaking about Lebanon, not just about Hezbollah. First of all, Lebanon must possess military capabilities and military strength which will serve as a deterrent when we become a strong country, as I said before. Of course, this is part of a defense strategy, army, resistance, people. When we have military capabilities which serve as a deterrent, what will our message be to the Israelis? It will be, please, stand down. Why do you want to attack Lebanon to achieve aims? Our message will be, you won't be able to achieve aims because we're no longer a weak country, so you cannot go and exit Lebanon as you want because we are now strong, we are now capable, we can now defeat you. So this logic, this scenario, if we present such a scenario to the Israelis will calculate. I'd like to tell you, I do not support those voices which say war is very close. I tell you that it's not easy for any Israeli government to make a decision of going to war against Lebanon. It's not easy at all. Any government which wants to make such a decision must make 1 million calculations before it takes such a step. This is a current reality which we live today. Now, if the Israelis want to wage a war in Lebanon, what must the aim be? It's very natural that the aims will not be any less than the aims of July 2006, nor will they be any less than the war in 1996, nor any less than, as I said, on the July 2006 war. The Israeli aims will at least be, if they want to get back their morale, if we want to increase the morale of the Israeli community and impose a settlement on all the governments of the region, their aim at least will be to eradicate the resistance in Lebanon, not just in the south of the Litani River, but in Lebanon. This will be their aim at least, to eradicate the resistance in Lebanon. The question for all politicians, for all analysts, for all people, the big question is, this Israeli army currently, right now, and this Israeli government, the current Israeli government, does this army and does this wage a war which can eradicate the Lebanese resistance? I give the answer, no. Of course, the Israelis are working day and night for 3 years. Some people believe that Israel hasn't been defeated. Of course, let's forget if we were victorious or not, but they say that Israel has not been defeated. How can it not be defeated at the time where for 3 years everything committed to investigate? If it were victorious, Israel, would it have taken all these steps, put them together or formed committees to take lessons? Israel is working day and night to be strong, and Israel has no other choice. As Barak says in the statements he made just a few days ago when they visited an Air Force base, it's very clear. Barak told the government and said it very clearly. He said that the future of Israel is all based upon the strength of the Israeli army. Everything concerning Israel is based on its army. How did the Israeli army conclude the July 2006 war, and how can it enter a new war? Yes, if the Israelis want to hold maneuvers, if they want to arm themselves, if they want to draw up plans, if they want to take lessons, and if we want to only waste our time and be preoccupied with each other, yes, they can wage a war, if that is the situation. In a few years, they could have the strength to wage a war. and they could also occupy war and could impose conditions on war, if we are preoccupied with each other and don't pay attention to what the Israelis are planning. But if we take responsibility, the Israelis cannot wage a war. If we work day and night, if we sit down and if we evaluate and take lessons of the July 2006 war, and if we uncover our advantages as Lebanese, and if we strengthen these advantages, and if we uncover our weak points and address our weak points as Lebanese, and if we implement our school of fighting, I can say with all pride and with all honor, I can say that now we have a military school. The Lebanese resistance has presented a military school to the whole world. This military school is ours. We created this school with the blood of our martyrs, with the minds of our mujahideen, and especially our military general, the late Imad Mughniyi. If we enhance our efforts to be strong, if we are ready to confront the enemy, if we are even more ready than we were in July 2006, even when it comes to the quantity of fighters. In July 2006, we had thousands of fighters, but now we are able to confront the Israelis with tens of thousands of fighters. And so, if we can make this enemy understand that any future war will have new rules and new equations, and of course they leaked out some quotes I made in a previous speech. They leaked out a part of my speech I made previously, a private speech which was not televised, but I'd like to say that it's our right, with all due respect to some comments I heard from some Lebanese, but it's our right. When the Israelis throughout the year speak about what happened in southern Beirut, today in the Israeli army they speak about the ideology of the Dahya. Dahya meaning southern Beirut, the stronghold of Hezbollah. They speak about the strategy of Dahya, strategy of southern Beirut. And when they put a new strategy for a new war, which is based upon a new equation, I don't have time to explain it now, but when nobody responds to this new Israeli rhetoric, days pass and months pass without any response. If anyone else had responded, I wouldn't have responded, but now I am obliged to respond. When the Israelis speak about a new equation in any new war, and by the way, we don't want any new war, and the Israelis are afraid of a new war, by the way. We don't want a new war, but we are not afraid of a new war. Maybe the Israelis want a new war, but are afraid of a new war. So this is the difference between us and the Israelis. But it's our right to send a message to the Israelis and tell them that in the July 2006 war, we told you, if you bomb Beirut, we will bomb Tel Aviv. And today we told the Israelis, if you bomb Beirut or the Dahya, southern Beirut, we will bomb Tel Aviv. When we tell the enemy very clearly, when we make the enemy understand, as he did very well, when we send a message to the enemy saying that if you wage a war on Lebanon, and if you imagine that you can bomb any city in Lebanon, you can bomb any village in Lebanon, we today tell you that we can bomb any city in Israel and any village in your entity. This is our response to the Israelis. We can bomb any village in the Israeli entity. You can make as much maneuvers as you want. And when the enemy understands The enemy which speaks about the strategy of a new war, which does not just include air force power, but also speaks about infantry divisions, ground invasions. When the enemy speaks about this, and I sent the message in response before, and once again I say again, in response to this, your tanks, you can put as many soldiers as you can in your tanks. You can hold training for your infantry divisions as much as you can. These infantry divisions, which are, you are preparing for any invasion in Lebanon, I tell you once again, in response, that these infantry divisions, these Israeli tanks, will be destroyed in our villages and in our mountains. If we can take advantage of this strength, we do possess this strength, but we must enhance it. And if we make the enemy understand and convey this message clearly, won't this prevent Israel from waging a new war on Lebanon? This is a simple question. It does prevent a new war. It serves as a deterrent. It protects Lebanon. And I would like to tell you, I'd like to assure you, I'm not speaking numbers. Just like in the July 2006 war, just like we had surprises at that time, we also have surprises now. In any future Israeli war, we will also have surprises for the enemy. When we told the Israelis that we have such capabilities, we have surprises, we prevent them from waging a war. They'll think 100 times before taking any steps. They can resort to other means to harm us, but not wars. This is number one. The second main topic is that we together can show national unity to prevent a war. We can abstain from internal tensions and prevent a new war. Of course, we heard some national patriotic rhetoric said that any new Israeli war on resistance, in any new war, we will stand side by side with the resistance. This is some patriotic language we heard. If we have such nationalism, such patriotism, the Israelis will look and say, where are we going? The Israelis think that we are weak. The Israelis think they can divide us. They can divide the Lebanese territories. But when the Israelis see that there is national unity, they'll no longer have a choice of going to war. Number three, which is also something which facilitates preventing a war, is the issue of the espionage networks. Why do the Israelis insist on these continued air violations, these overflights? They say that Hezbollah is violating United Nations Security Council resolutions, but ever since the July 2006 war until now, Israel has violated Resolution 1701 more than 4,000 times. Israel is still violating by the occupation of the Shab'a farms and the Ghajar village, and the Security Council hasn't taken any measures, any steps. Why do they insist on the Israeli military planes remaining in Lebanon's airspace? Not for no reason, no. These planes are in our airspace to gather information. But all the military experts know that gathering information by surveillance aircraft, by military planes, is not enough. And for this reason, they need espionage networks and spies on the ground, in the villages, in the cities, to gather more information. The most important factor which makes Israel go to a war quicker, which makes Israel quickly go to a war, is that it has more information. But when they don't have enough intelligence information, they'll be hesitant to go to a war. When they don't have any information, they'll be blind. Now, what are the eyes? Who represents the eyes of the Israelis on the ground in Lebanon? The espionage networks. So I call on the Lebanese security services to continue uncovering these spying networks and to arrest these spies. What has been achieved until now is very important, but it's not enough. Every village has spies. Take it from me, because the Israelis are gathering information on all villages, and every city has spies. Every suburb has spies. Previously, I said if we can gather all of those people who belong to a faction, I say if we gather all the people who belong to one faction, the biggest faction when it comes to quantity of people will be the espionage networks. Second of all, the trials must continue, the judicial trials must continue of these spies. Of course, we read just a few days ago in the newspapers about forgiving these people, giving amnesty for these spies. Today, I tell everyone, whoever deals lightly with the spies is dealing lightly with the blood of the people, is dealing lightly with the destiny of the people and the destiny of the country. And this is something which is not allowed, which we cannot accept. The state must address this issue. Ever since the year 2000, we highlighted this, the importance of continuing to try these Israeli spies. So, if we strengthen ourselves, if we show unity, if we put together a national unity government, if we continue uncovering spy networks, then we as Lebanese, we will deter the enemy and prevent the enemy from waging any new war on Lebanon, whatever the strength of the enemy may be, because the enemy will know that such a war will be a failed war, will not be able to achieve any aims, and the results of any future war would be catastrophic for the existence and future of Israel in the region. This is what we must do. So these are the factors, these are the steps we must take to prevent a war from happening. But if a war does occur, God does exist, and the people, the men of God, are also there, and you are also here. My dear brothers and sisters, this war, the July 2006 war, this contributed in preventing the success of the most dangerous American-Israeli plot in our Islamic and Arab world. And this plot, from the outside, possessed all the elements of success to control the region and to overcome all obstacles. And in the previous years, this plot, of course, had the possibility of achieving success, especially with the presence of the Bush administration. This plot included Lebanon, Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, the whole region. Today, this plot has failed. It has totally failed. I don't want to overreact and say this plot has ended. No. Some parts of the plot are continuing. Some parts of the plot have failed. Ever since the 14th of August 2006, we are no longer hearing about the new Middle East of Condoleezza Rice. This has ended, yes. But other parts of the plot are still continuing. In Palestine, because of the resistance, and especially the latest historic perseverance in Gaza, and in Lebanon, because of the resistance and the people of resistance, and all those who stood with the resistance, and the historic showing in July 2006, and in Iraq, also because of the resistance, because of the Iraqi resistance, which prevented the dreams of George Bush and the previous American administration from controlling and practicing hegemony on Iraq. And because this Iraqi resistance forced the American military to withdraw from the cities. And even in Iraq, I would like to tell you, had all of these bombs and had all of these suicide bombers, had all of these military operations targeted the occupation forces and not the Iraqi people from different sectarian groups, this would have led to the biggest defeat of the American military. If these suicide bombs had targeted the occupation instead of the people in Iraq, they will also fail in Afghanistan. And because of the resistance groups, because of countries like Iran and Syria, this plot has failed. And today, and I have just five more minutes left, today, in this period of history, I would like to say that we are in a local, regional, and international situation which is better than it was in July 2006. Now, If someone must ask how is it better, I would like to tell you that the local, the current domestic and regional and international situation is at least not worse than it was in July 2006. We were able to achieve victory. We stood solidly on the ground, and the Palestinian resistance also stood with solidarity on the ground. Today, they are pinning their hopes, they are pinning false hopes. They hope that Syria would surrender, but Syria showed its strength. Concerning Iran, imagine that the continuous threats to strike Iran, they imagine that Iran would back down in face of these threats. In the past few weeks, some dreamed that the Islamic revolution would end and the Islamic regime in Iran would collapse. But these dreams can never come true. Iran, which many overreacted to the latest events in Iran, but this Iran, this country, this regime in Iran, this state, the people of Iran, the intellectuals of Iran, with the blessings of the supreme leader, this wise, courageous leader, this historic leader, Imam Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei, may God keep him with us, and with the blessings of the people for 30 years, ever since the Islamic Revolution. Because of this, Iran today was able to overcome its problems and is now stronger, and Iran will stay as it was. So the resistance movements today are even more faithful, are even more confident, are more hopeful of the future. And I would like to hear to speak at the time where we are, of course, commemorating this anniversary where our martyrs fell, commemorating this anniversary where many homes were demolished. I'd like to tell you with all love, my dear people in Lebanon, my dear people in Palestine, my dear people in Iraq, to all our people in the region, to all our people, our strength is in our unity, our strength is in our coherence, our strength is in our solidarity, the solidarity of our will, and the future is for us. We can create our future with ourselves, with our blood, with our faith. This is the way we achieve the God holy victory. This is the way we achieve this victory in July 2006. With you, our honorable people, with our honorable supporters, we will continue with our march so that Lebanon can be the Lebanon of the cedars, can be the Lebanon of the mountains, be the honorable Lebanon, Lebanon of the strong will, Lebanon which will never deter, which will never bow down in face of any challenge. Lebanon will always stay honorable. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.